Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew and chapter 28. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. It's the chapter about resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus that stands right at the heart of the Christian faith. The good news that God has raised Jesus from the dead. But we'll be focusing today just on the couple of verses right at the end of this chapter, and in fact, right at the end of Matthew's gospel. So Matthew 28, reading from verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we have been reflecting on the theme of encouragement. Encouragement is simply when we encourage, when we give strength to another. And I'm sure we all know, I hope we all know, and can name instances in our lives when we have been encouraged, when somebody has strengthened us, perhaps by words they've spoken to us, perhaps by something they have done. It may be that we've been feeling particularly down or depressed or out of sorts. Maybe we've been feeling sad, just a sense of being bereft, perhaps. And somebody has said something. Somebody has done something. And maybe it's not even at the time, but afterwards we've looked back and thought, "I was really encouraged. I was strengthened because of what was said, because of what was done, because of the love that was shown to me." It may be that there have been times when we haven't, as it were, kind of noted ourselves as a candidate in need of encouragement. We wouldn't have said, "Oh, you were particularly down or out of sorts," or anything. But nonetheless, God has spoken to you. Somebody else has spoken to you. Somebody has done something. And you thought, "I wasn't feeling down or anything, but that really blessed me. I feel encouraged. I feel strengthened to carry on doing what it is that God has called me to do. I feel encouraged to be the person God has called me to be the very best that God has called me to be. And so that's the theme of encouragement. And throughout the scriptures, we read of those occasions when God speaks words of encouragement. We had the example from Paul's life, very critical time for him. He was doing something that was completely new and radical for him. And God says, don't be afraid, I am with you. And today we're going to reflect on the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I am with you, particularly picking up the last couple of verses that we just read. And this is where Jesus speaks to his disciples and says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, what we've discovered, as I hinted at earlier, is that as we have reflected in these last few weeks on the theme of encouragement, often there has been a challenge with the encouragement. We haven't been able to just receive encouragement, sit exactly where we are and say, thank you, Lord, that's great. More often than not, it's as if we've had to stand up and move. We've had to receive the encouragement. It hasn't just come to us. And what we discover is so often God is asking us to move, to act, to live out on the basis of the encouragement, not to stay where we are. And God doesn't want us to stay just where we are, but he wants us to be able to live and be the best that we can be. And at the heart of this word of encouragement, there is this presumption of discipleship. Mission is at the heart of these words of Jesus. When Jesus says, surely, surely I will be with you, what he's just said is, go and make disciples. So mission is right there at the heart of these words of encouragement. There is the presumption of discipleship. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, people who have followed him, and said, he's saying to them, now, you are my disciples, you know how to follow me. Now go and make other disciples as well. Because it is true that disciples make disciples. You have to be a follower yourself in order to make a disciple of somebody else. Now, I wonder, it might be that for you, how many of you, you know, it's a rhetorical question, you haven't got to answer, have got a hobby? Some of you will have a hobby. Now, it could be, I don't know, it could be stargazing, that's your hobby. It could be making jam. It could be walking or something. But, you know, if you want to be if you're interested in the stars, you know, who's the best person to talk to get you interested? But somebody who's obsessed with looking at stars. If you've got so much fruit from your garden or wherever, you've been picking fruit, and you're wondering what on earth to do with it, you know, you sit next to somebody who's obsessed with making jam and you'll really know about it, won't you? You know? Or whatever. If we follow a particular way, then inevitably, given half a chance, we share that with others. And here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, people who have learned to live in a particular way, the way of Jesus, following after Jesus. And they are the very ones that Jesus speaks to and say, now, you, go and make more disciples. Just make more of you. Make more disciples. Go to everyone. Go to all nations and make disciples. But mission is at the heart of this word of encouragement. This going, this activity is right at the heart of this word of encouragement. I'll be with you. But go and make disciples. And I'll be with you in that. And so we're going to reflect on mission. We're going to reflect on mission because we want to hear the context of I am with you. And the first thing to know is this. Mission is a response. Mission when we go on a mission to achieve something. Mission is a response. Jesus says to his disciples, therefore, go. Therefore, go. It's a very simple thing. Therefore, go. What has just happened? Jesus has been crucified. The women have gone to the tomb, expecting to find Jesus still in the tomb, but God has raised him from the dead, and the disciples experience and meet and know the resurrected Jesus, and on that basis, Jesus says to them, therefore, go. And as a response to what has happened, the disciples are commanded to go. Firstly, mission is a response. Secondly, mission is inclusive. Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of... Now, I said earlier, go and make people just like you. Now, would that be a good thing? To make people just like you, disciples just like you? I don't know. Might be. You know, jam makers, just like you. Everybody. Make disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, the word here is ethnos. It's about all ethnicities, all people groups. Don't say, well, we're only going to people just like us. We're only going to the English. We're not just going for the Scottish. We're going for all people groups. Mission is inclusive. The command of Jesus for mission is therefore go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups. We don't have to go very far to meet people of another people group, another ethnicity than ourselves. And I have a question for you here. If nations here means all people groups, which people groups are we aware of in Evesham? Which people? Just have a think about it. Which other people groups are we aware in Evesham? Now, if I want the camera, do I press number two? Okay. There we go. Okay, so we've got the board, and you can call out what people groups are you aware of in Evesham. You can mention the obvious ones and the not so obvious. We have Latvians. Okay, what people groups? Jesus is always the answer. Yeah. Polish. Sorry, I heard another one. Indian. Are these people, you work with Indians? Yeah? Italian, are you aware of Italians? Yeah? Neighbours? Yeah? Italian. How do you spell Lithuanian? Lithuanian. Is that good enough? Ah, fantastic. Turkish? What ethnicity are you, John? Estonian. Now that's good, you see. Now all we've mentioned nationalities here. Okay, but if you talk about people in debt, see, is that a people group? You know, you might want to define people group, okay? Yeah, that's good. U3A, University of the Third Age. How old do you have to be in the Third Age? Retire. No, you don't. See? But there you might say, well, that's a particular slice of our society here in Evesham. Yeah? Fun? Teenagers. Yeah, my son's about to become a teenager. Teenagers. Okay. Gypsies. Gypsy. Yeah. Keep going. South Africans. That's absolutely, yeah. Now, I'll put down English. Absolutely. And I'm going to mention Evesham people, because there are some, you know, I'm going to put down Evesham people, because there are those who've been here, worked the land for generations. Yeah, absolutely. Is a particular people group. They are of a particular type. Yeah. Chinese. Korean. Yeah, we know. Or West Indian? I don't know. Do you know many West Indians?
In Ulster.
In Ulster? Yeah, a bit further away. How about more in... I mean, John, you mentioned about people who are in debt. And so that's a different kind of, I can say, a social class or social experience that people are going through. Unemployed. Yeah. Employed, yeah, okay, so unemployed, you've got single mums, and dads, yeah. I'm just thinking, let's, with more kind of unemployed single mums, that kind of disabled. Yeah. Offenders, yeah. Okay. Do you get the idea? Okay. So, mission is firstly a response. It is Jesus speaks and says, therefore, go. On the basis of your own discipleship, on the basis of your own following after Jesus, therefore, go. And reproduce what has been produced in you. Reproduce the good things that God has done in you. Encourage others to be followers of Jesus. Mission is inclusive. We're told, make disciples of all nations. Nations being all people groups. And immediately, now the obvious, we start mentioning nationalities. But then we begin to see, no, people may not, if you say to somebody, who are you? Tell me about yourself. The chances are they'll start with their job. Or they'll start with, you know, I'm unemployed or I'm disabled or something. You know, these defining things about us. And the command of Jesus is go and make disciples of all people groups. And that's immediately, that's an extraordinary challenge. How do we think creatively about meeting people of other people groups, other nations, as it were, than our own, in order that we might encourage them to be disciples, to be followers of Jesus. Mission is inclusive. Mission is inclusive. It includes all of these groups. So mission is a response. Mission is inclusive. Thirdly, mission is specific. The first thing that Jesus identifies is go and make disciples. That's what you are to do. There's lots of stuff we can do,
But this is what you are to do. You are to make followers of Jesus, people who are eager to follow in the way of Jesus. And this is, at the beginning I mentioned, there's a presumption of discipleship. There's a presumption when Jesus speaks to his disciples, it's a presumption they are already followers of Jesus. Now, it might be that we have the question for ourselves today. I'm not sure about where I stand in terms of being a disciple of Jesus. It might be that even today we think, well, I'm not sure even about this thing about being a Christian. I'm not sure where I'd be. And if we, it's best to look at it in terms of a journey. And we begin from a point perhaps of not knowing very much or knowing lots of disjointed things. But we come to a point where we decide, I'm going to find out more. I want to find out more about who Jesus was, about what he did, about what my response should be and can be to Jesus. And we begin this road, this journey of discovery about Jesus. And of course, Jesus, he never asked anybody to be a Christian. He asked people to be disciples. He said to James and John, fishing, we're told. Andrew and Simon, again, fishermen. Matthew, collecting taxes. Come follow me. Come follow me. Just wherever I am, just follow me. Experience me. Know me. Watch me. Learn from me. And the great thing is that Jesus took his followers and said, okay, I'm going to stay here a while. You can go and do it for a bit and then come and tell me how you get on. And they do that in a wonderful way. Mission is specific. What is it about? It is about how do we make disciples? How do we encourage others to be followers of Jesus? So mission is specific. It's about making disciples. But it's also specific in that Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Very specific. Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Make followers of Jesus, of all people groups that you can possibly think of, and baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here, what seems to be clear is that baptism is not to be divorced from this following after Jesus. Said it many times, and believe me, I do not say this because I'm a Baptist. It's been thrown at me many times. And if you think that, you've got me completely wrong. I don't say this because I'm apparently a Baptist, or that's the title, and all that kind of stuff. I say it because I can't find it anywhere, any other way of doing baptism in the Bible. And that's the plain fact. And we should reject other ways of doing baptism and say, no, the command of Jesus is very simple. It's very direct. It's very specific. Go and make disciples, followers of Jesus, and link to that discipleship baptism, a laying down of our old way of life and a rising up to a new way of life. Faith in Jesus surely comes first. Then comes baptism. And I know, you know, if any one of you want to pin me up against the wall and have it out with me afterwards, you can. But you'll just be defending your tradition. You won't be defending the Bible here. That's a radical thing to say, isn't it? But that's what you'll be doing, is defending a tradition rather than what I think Jesus actually commanded us to do. Baptizing them. Mission is specific. And when somebody is baptized, in terms of the journey of discovery about Jesus, making the decision, I want to follow Jesus, I want to know something about him, having that sense, I want to be one of those people who Jesus speaks to and says, come follow me. And we respond to that and we begin following Jesus. At some point on that journey, earlier, preferably rather than later, we say, I need to mark this. I need to note down, I am now a follower of Jesus. And so we get baptized. And baptism, however we do baptism, it's marking the end of the beginning. Wasn't it Churchill who said, you know, at particular points, you know, this is not the beginning of the end. What was it? This is not the beginning of the end. But it said, it's just the end of the beginning. Just the end of the beginning. You know, and that's what baptism does. It marks, this is the end of the beginning part of my journey. That's what we do. And the encouragement, be baptized. Be baptized to mark the beginning of your journey. So mission is specific. Go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. Go and baptize them. That's a really helpful thing to mark. They're on this journey, following after Jesus. Mission is specific then, teaching them to obey everything. Teaching them to obey. Now, teaching the way of Jesus requires integrity. I don't know, some of you are probably teachers, and you think, I know how to teach. Sit people down and you tell them stuff. And of course, it's more than just telling them. What we need in terms of teaching people is we need a simple knowledge of what Jesus himself taught, but we also need a life ourselves that reflects that knowledge. Because teaching requires integrity, not just our words, but our lives. They need to come together. That's what integrity is. Bringing the two, our words and our actions need to come together. And Jesus said, go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything. So that presumes that I will firstly be obeying Jesus myself. And then in obedience to Jesus, I go and I say, well, look, Jesus commanded this and this is how I've worked it out. You can do the same. And we do that together. Teaching them to obey everything, teaching the way of Jesus involves a two-way challenge. Firstly, ourselves, am I on the journey of obedience? Can I persuade others by example? I'll put in brackets their words because more often we will use words. Can I persuade others by example to make this journey? Teaching them to obey everything. Am I on the journey of obedience? Because if I'm going to be sent by Jesus to go make disciples, am I there? Am I actually, do I know what Jesus taught? Am I obeying it? And can I persuade others by example and by my words? Now, the fourth thing is mission is extensive, teaching them to obey everything. And this, you know, for me, this is where the rubber really hits the road, teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. It's tough. What's great is if you go through the Sermon on the Mount and you pick the bits you like. Have you ever done that? If you've ever done Bible studies on the Sermon on the Mount and think, oh, I like that bit. Oh, I'm going to do that bit. It kind of makes me feel warm and cuddly or whatever it is. Or you think, because of my personality type, I can do that. Teaching them to obey everything. Now, what we've just said about teaching them to obey, the challenge for myself, am I on that journey of obedience? I can't pick and choose what I want to obey. I've got to obey it all. And that can be a real tough thing. Not to be able to pick and choose what Jesus himself taught. I mean, I have been really challenged all sorts of different things about Jesus's teaching. Give to everyone who asks without asking anything in return. That's what Jesus said. Give to everyone who asks without asking anything in return. I'll say that again. That's what Jesus said. Give to everyone who asks without asking anything in return. Do you do that? Do you give to everyone who asks without asking for anything in return? That's what he says. And from there, oh man, so difficult. When people have asked of me, and I've had to hand in my pocket, book off the shelf, whatever it was, giving. If it comes back, great. Is that what Jesus meant? I don't know. Not sure. But when we get down to actually what Jesus said, it's a great challenge. And it's so easy to domesticate, as it were, Jesus' teaching and say, well, I'd like it to mean this. I'd like it to mean that. And, well, I don't like that bit. How can we possibly make disciples people who obey everything if we don't ourselves obey everything? And there is a need, and I've often said this, there's a need to engage with Jesus and his teaching and work out what it means. We cannot pick, and I cannot pick and choose the teachings of Jesus. Critical thing is we must begin with love. We must begin with love. In John 13, Jesus says it to his disciples, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the generosity, the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness, the grace that comes with love. Love one another. It's all bound up with love. And then there's lots of specifics just to unpack what it means. But we begin with love, teaching them to obey everything. We can't pick and choose. And then the fifth thing is mission guarantees encouragement. Mission guarantees encouragement. And surely I am with you always. You can imagine Jesus talking to these disciples. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. And then he says, and surely. You think that's a tough thing I've just asked you to do. You think it's beyond the realms of possibility. Beyond the realms of reasonableness. Jesus says, surely, I will be with you. I'm not going to abandon you as you go and do this. Surely, I will be with you. And there's the encouragement. There is the strengthening that Jesus gives to his disciples. Right at that point, the encouragement that he gives to us, the strengthening that he offers to us. Here's the challenge. Now, surely, I will be with you. I'll be with you on your journey, on your mission, as you go out, as you work out what it means to be a follower of Jesus, as you work out what it means, what did Jesus actually say? Okay, what does that mean for me about forgiving sin? Not seven times, but not really even 70 times seven, but forgiving again and again and again. About engaging with the outcasts, loving mercifully and generously. What does this mean? How do I work it out? How do I go and help others to engage with this truth and reality about who Jesus is? Mission guarantees this encouragement. Surely I am with you. It comes in the context of mission. You go, and I will surely be with you. You go, and I'll be with you. So we have these five things. Mission is a response. Mission is inclusive. Mission is a response. Therefore, go on the basis of what you know, what you've experienced, your life with Jesus, following him. Therefore, go. It's inclusive. All people groups, all different people. Mission is specific. It's specific things. Go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. It's extensive. Teach them to obey everything. Don't leave anything out. teach them to obey everything. And just a note here. And this may be just me. Now I say that, and I know full well it's not just me. Okay, but just to let you off the hook. My experience is that we're very good at encouraging new believers or people that are interested in the faith to obey what the Apostle Paul wrote. And we insist on particular ways of being and doing that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, Paul is not against Jesus at all. But normally, in my experience, that's where we begin. Rather than beginning with the simplicity of Jesus. And say, look, don't worry about Paul. Don't worry about the Old Testament. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Let's just begin with Jesus. Let's find out what he said. And let's begin to do that. And as I've often said, how do we interpret the Old Testament? You know, some of the young people at Jam Club, I've been telling the story about King David. And you think, well, that's a great story to tell, King David. Man, oh man, the questions, they're coming back with me at me about King David and God and what was God like and all this. Oh man, I'm going to choose some easier next term, you know. But you know, how do we interpret the difficult stories in the Old Testament? We interpret them through Jesus. We don't go direct to them. We go to Jesus. And then we understand them. How do we interpret Paul? Not direct Paul, read it. You interpret it through Jesus. And because we're disciples of Jesus, our spirit increasingly is that of Jesus. So we have eyes to understand Paul. Eyes to understand the Old Testament, because we're doing it through that Spirit of Jesus. So mission is extensive, teaching them to obey everything I've taught. And then the fifth thing, mission guarantees this encouragement. A serious question is, what might we do? What might we do? Might we put on our agenda as a church, as a community together, that we might know this encouragement? That we might be those who respond, therefore go. And surely I am with you always. Some of you are great ideas people. Some of you are very imaginative people. And it might be that your imagination is stirred. And that's great. Tell me, talk to others and say, do you know what? How about doing this? Maybe we can encourage some other people to come along with us. That we can just live out our life following Jesus and just encourage people. How can we encourage people? As a church, we're in contact with loads and loads of people through what we already do of sharing our life, of music makers and jam and baby talk and all sorts of stuff that we do. How do we encourage people actually to become disciples? We share the love of Christ. How do we encourage people? Disciples. That's why we need the imagination and the ideas to help us to do that and to do that together. Surely I am with you always. And let's just pause there and just allow it to sit with us for a moment. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just rest upon us. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would create good things in us. We'd be stimulated, we'd be stirred. There would be ideas and imaginations that are stirred in us. Father, we crave your presence. And here we have this incredible, extraordinary encouragement. Surely, as you go, I will be with you. I am with you. I am with you. Father, help us to be those people with courage, having been encouraged to go together to share your kindness and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.